Yo, we are back. Artis from the Green Seed doing Drapetomania Revealed right here on the Vulcanite Radio podcast. So we're gonna break down the song on the record Drapetomania from Communicating Vessels. We're gonna break down the song Chance to Say. And now I know that totally sounded like something different. That you heard that, like that was one of the earlier iterations of this beat. It's got some change ups. It's got some different drum sounds. But I took some of that stuff out. By the time we got to the studio. And of course, we tracked this one at Isidore South over Mountain Brook, but yeah, this is one of my favorite songs from the record. Even though nobody hardly ever talks about it, hardly anyone ever comes up and says, "Hey, man, my favorite song is Chance to Say," or you know. And I think a lot of the reason why people don't talk about this track primarily is because I think they don't quite understand it, maybe. And maybe they haven't listened to it. I mean, you know, because it's just like, it's the same old thing. Like, people love Jude Law. I mean, they just play it ad nauseum. Like, even sometimes when we're played on some of these college radio stations, we're still being played on some of them. You know, it's always Jude Law. It's always Disconnect. It's always Gimmicks, you know. But this song is actually one of the more thoughtful songs on the record. It's about basically what the name says. It's about having a chance to say what you want to say, you know, not holding back, making sure that you're very clear with people about how you feel. So, I mean, it's basically what the chorus is. He wrote his verse differently than I did, of course. You know, we typically like to try to have two kind of, you know, just a juxtaposition of ideas. And I'd need him to come on and talk about what, you know, he intended for his verse to say. But I can say exactly what I intend for mine to say. My verse is, I guess, is it the first verse? First verse? Second? I think maybe it's the second verse. But anyway, there's a really good friend of mine at one point, and what's interesting, too, is that we are now, we're semi-close cool now. When I wrote this track, he and I were not on speaking terms. He's a friend from high school, a friend from, you know, early 20s, you know, getting your freedom, hanging out and stuff all the time. Just a real cool guy, real talented guy. And, you know, I never got a chance to say to him exactly how I felt because I know I screwed up. I knew I had done some stuff and said some stuff, you know, it was just some, you know, just did some shady stuff, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, this was me opening up. I mean, I still don't even know if he's even heard this song or even knows I'm even talking about him when I do it, but, you know, real close, cool guy. And now we're friends again, which is, you know, kind of cool. I mean, not like friends like you call up on the telephone and talk all night or chat or, you know, stuff like that. But, and hopefully nothing grown-ass men don't sit around and chat all night about stuff that, you know, gossip and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, we're just, you know, we see each other, man. We can say, you know, good to see you, and we can have a little small talk and everything can go pretty well. So, and if you listen to the track, you know, it's basically like, listen, Jack, there's no need for you to feel attacked. Like, that's the way I come off on it, you know. because I'm not attacking. I'm really just opening up and saying exactly how I felt about the situation. And, you know, we let women get in the middle of us. You know, we let all of this, you know, I mean, we just weren't grown-ups yet, you know. I mean, we were grown-ups in probably in age, but when it comes down to just, you know, like, I mean, we were still adolescent acting. We might have been 20-something, but we were still acting like a bunch of, you know, dumb A kids. So, it's why it's one of my favorites, because it really does get down to the heart and to the matter of, you know, opening up and saying, "Man, listen, dude, I messed up, and I never got a chance to say it, but I'm saying it now." You know what I mean? Like, get over it. Well, I'm saying not to him, get over it for me, you know, not for him. But I think I need to preface something. I think another reason why I'm letting all this information go and, you know, just talking about Drapetomania so much is 'cause I need to move on. I really need to move on. I'm in the middle of, well, I don't even want to say I'm in the middle. I'm at the end of making our new record. The name of it, I'll keep the name of it secret for now. A little later in this process, we'll talk about it. Probably to more toward the end. I'll talk about what the new record means and the new name, album title, all that stuff. But after listening to the first couple of Drapetomania reveal that I did here on Vulcanite Radio, I realized, man, I'm rambling a lot, man. Like, I'm rambling a whole bunch. And it reminds me of an interview I did with Performer Magazine when this album came out. And big up Performer Magazine. I mean, it was one big giant run-on sentence. I mean, the whole dang interview. And I could tell, like, she was listening to me, and she was like, maybe had the tape recorder going, but typically, I think when people interview you, they're supposed to put punctuation in the. I mean, I don't know. But it just, when you look at it on the page, it just looks like I'm just rambling. And I was just rambling. I mean, I was trying to make my point very succinctly. We were talking on the telephone in the middle of the, you know, middle of the afternoon. And, but sometimes when I listen back to these Drapetomania reveal, I am clearly rambling a bunch, and I say a whole bunch more than I should, and so I'm working on that also. Working on, there really is no problem with an awkward pause or an awkward silence. You don't have to fill it with Randall.
Teased.
Yeah. But I also wanted to talk about something else that is has to do with my production and see, there's that I gotta chill on that stuff. Gotta chill on that. Some of the production that came with this record was from inspiration from other individuals. And I have to say this. I think one of the things that bothers me the most about the business or the music business, and maybe even less life in general, is that sometimes people level up, people raise their level, and they're unwilling to say who helped them raise the level. You know, like, I can clearly say Jeffrey Kane, I can clearly say, you know, DJ FX. See, there's again. I can say Complete. I can say Jeff C. I can say all of them helped me level up from solo artist to working with FX, and then working with Complete, then adding Jeff C, then meeting Jeff Kane. I can even say Rashee from Lobotomix doing his part for, you know, making us more visible, helping us be more visible. Take a shot every time I say okay, great drinking game. Take a shot every time I say okay, just go ahead and get the drinks out, hang out with your friends. Every time I say take a drink. You're gonna get super drunk off those first two episodes. You're gonna get too mad, crazy drunk. But there are some other people I can also give some level up credit to. I guess I can definitely give some level up credit for myself to Preem Supreme from Shahid DJ Supreme, Incline from Nerves Battington. I almost said Haran from Precise Elements. And I named these three guys because there was a time when I didn't have an MPC. I wasn't working with Akai stuff, and I think I talked about this before. I was working with Roland, and I was MIDI-ing it into a one of the earliest sampling pieces of computer software was Vienna Soundfont Studio, one of the earliest sampling programs, and I was MIDIing that to my computer, and that's how I was creating tracks very early on. But all these guys had MPCs. Supreme had the, pretty sure Supreme had the 4000. Incline had the 2000. I think Ferran had a 2000. But the production that these guys were coming up with was very nice. I mean, it just had this very swingy, just very distinct. The drums were popping, the kicks were jumping. And I just hadn't gotten there yet. I mean, I hadn't. I mean, this was probably 2000, and I still hadn't gotten an MPC yet. I probably didn't get an MPC till it was after 2006. So, Drapetomania was really my first foray of producing a quality record with an MPC. And I could tell the difference. I mean, I could just tell the difference. I could just tell the difference in how my music was just changing. And if those guys hadn't had that, it would never have been on my mind, I don't think, to level up and to say, okay, I gotta raise it. I gotta raise it. I gotta raise it up. I get asked a lot of times, why don't I produce records for other people? Like, why don't I produce tracks for other people? Well, I could do that. But part of it is I'm a rapper. I'm not just a producer. So much of what I want to do is I want to make sure that my style, my production style, doesn't get watered down by doing so many tracks and sending stuff out to people all the time, because you end up kind of, watering yourself down, because you don't ever have any chance to improve. You don't ever have a chance to maybe pick up a new piece of equipment and test it and try it out, and 'cause you're always trying to churn. It's production, you're always trying to churn it out. So I'm a rapper, so I've always made my own tracks for the most part. Once I stopped being in a group, because I don't want to say I left, it was just I stopped wanting to be in a group, and I wanted to I was in Metaphysics at one point, a hip hop group in Birmingham, headed by Supreme, and I just decided I was just gonna make a change. You know what I'm saying? Like I just had an epiphany after a wild night out, and we'll talk about that wild night out, because that wild night out kind of turn me into the person that I am today. Also, drink every time I say genuinely. I'm trying to stop doing and generallys and genuinely. Nah, I say that way too much. But you do still wish you could do more. Even though you're producing for yourself and your group and stuff, you do wish you could do more. And some opportunities have arisen for me lately. I got an indie deal through an indie out of LA to do a solo kind of record, solo album. And so I'm getting to stretch my legs a little there, you know, producing stuff for myself and doing the new beat tape on Algebraic. And, you know, I've done some tracks for Complete, or done some tracks for Shahid that, you know, are previously unreleased. So really, really working on some stuff, really building. And I feel like I'm at my creative peak right now. I really do. So let's get back to Chance to Say. I'm just rambling on. And once again, let's see if I can get some of these sounds here to come up here. I can see if I can find them. There's one. Okay, so I don't know where I got these. I don't know where I got these either, but they say Cobb. There's one really good sound. Now, of course, I don't let it play out on the song, but I mean, I really like that. If I was using it now, I'd probably... That's the second sound. Yeah. So you could... Yeah, those are all very good. I mean, good Lord, those are good. Yeah. So that's everything that's kind of underneath. And of course, like I said, this little sound that you hear, that's not actually on the track. That's just, I don't know why I've got that there. I probably should just go on and take it out right now, right? So that you don't have to hear that. There we go. So that's basically the basic run of the track right there. I mean, it's just, you know, yeah. Listen, Jack, there's no need for you to feel attacked. Friends we were, at the hip it is, we've been a chat. Back and forth, forth and back like a tennis match. I can't remember some of these tracks because we just don't ever do them live, you know. I mean, these tracks are not ever done live. For the most part. But I love those samples. Don't know where they came from. Eventually, I'm going to get all these together. And maybe we'll just do like a one episode of where I finally just tell you where all these samples came from. Because, like I said before, I've got so many records. I'm just trying to go through all this stuff. And it's a lot to have to go through. So, Lori Chang from the band. And there I said, again, drink. Take a couple shots. From the band, Tick Tock, Randall, from the band. I can't remember what band she plays in. This is ridiculous. Anyway, great cellist, Lori Chang, played on this song. Also, Jeffrey Kane played guitar on this song. And I guess one of the funniest stories that I can come up with for this song was, this was the first time that Jeffrey had gotten his guitar out to play for us. And you know, the whole time I had known him, I'd never seen him play a guitar yet, you know, up close, you know, that now that I knew him. And he got his guitar ready, and of course he got the I think he had the SG out. I've got a picture. He's got a Gibson SG, and I think he had the SG out. But he went in, he set his pedals up, and he had his amps and I mean, he had everything mic'd. I think he and Ginther had gotten everything prepped beforehand, because I think I had asked him, you know, a long time before that. And he went in the next room, and instead of, like, you know how most guitarists probably would have gone in and turned around where you could kind of, you know, where you could kind of see what they were doing, because, you know, they just kind of wanted to... He went in and he turned his back to, I mean, he had his back turned the entire time. And he was sitting in the floor, kind of Indian style, there with the track playing, the headphones on. And he was just in there just trying to find something. He was just working through something. He was just playing, and all these great sounds were coming out. And it was fantastic. I mean, it was awesome watching him just sit there in the floor and just screw with the pedals and find a tone. And so he helped form the sounds there that Lori eventually played, because on the track you can hear the cello that Lori plays, but it had originally been played by Jeffrey. with that wow, wow, and he's still underneath her a little bit, and if you pay attention, you can hear it. And then, so he was right there, helping us lace that, you know, put that together. And just recently, we had Carson from the Dirty Lungs come in and put some guitar down on our new album, and very you know just a different just a, did a different set of circumstances. Like it was, I mean, it was just completely different. Carson liked sitting in the control room and having the guitar in the other room. Like, I mean, you know, it was just, you just, it's just fun working with musicians and like having them come in and just kind of inspire you with their process and the way that they like to do things. And it's just very inspirational. You know, I don't want to sound like, like an elitist or anything, but it's like, I think that's probably the one thing I hate about hip hop music is that it can be so, sometimes it can be so kind of isolating, you know, where you feel like, you know, it's either everybody's a producer or a rapper. So you're either in a room full of producers who've already made the tracks, who want to get their ego stroked, or you're in a room full of rappers who are all trying to compete and show which one of them's the best, you know? Because, I mean, really nobody deals with DJs and stuff anymore. Like, that's not a thing where you got DJs in the studio. We have DJs in the studio, but it's not a thing across the board, you know? Let's see if I can find this change up. So there's a change up that happens. This part, yeah. Never ever ever had a chance to say what I have to say. So there's this singing part too that has, I think, has gone unnoticed, maybe. But it's my favorite part of the song, is when it goes into that. It's like, never ever have I had a chance to say what I had to say, but I fight this way. You know what I'm saying? Like, wait a minute, let me get these drums in here, because it just doesn't, I guess it doesn't do it justice without the drums being in here. Oh, and by the way, I've got a new microphone here, so I'm enjoying this microphone though. I'm really liking it. I'll know how well I like it once I hear the final podcast, and if it sounds like crap, I'm gonna be pissed off, but because there's no return policy on microphones at most stores that you purchase a microphone. Because they know these fools are gonna go out there and use it and then try to bring it back. And that's why they do it. I mean, for no other reason other than the fact this fool gonna say, "Oh, I mean, you need a microphone tonight." Oh, and then we'll turn around tomorrow and take it back. Nah, kid, that ain't happening, young. That ain't happening, kid. All right, so let's see if we can get this. I hope that ain't in here. It is. Oh, hell. Not only is it in there, but those bleeping big ass cymbals. There we go. Once again, I use those basic stocky drums this time, just because, like I told you before, I was really trying to take care of the engineer so that, you know, he wouldn't have all these, like, "Well, this kick sounds like this, and this kick's all muffled," and, you know, he would have had to take an extra time, in my opinion, you know. And of course, I was trying to save time. I mean, I'm not, I'm what they called a spendthrift. What they call a cheapo. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I was trying to save as much time in there as possible. And, man, it was a, yeah, I mean, it's a great experience going in, trying to get everything organized, trying to get in and out. But I haven't done that for this new album, but I've also saved a bunch of money by, you know, engineering and recording and doing it all myself. So trying to take care of the label, you know, I mean, They ain't got no bunch of money to throw away. Like, if we're gonna spend some money, let's spend some money on something that's important, you know? Not on the front end. Don't blow your budget on the front end. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just plain stupid to do such, you know? So, with Lori Chang, cellist, and Jeffrey on guitar, this. I played the bass line, you know, basically myself. Kicks, drums, the samples. And then we just started adding effects and building things, you know, just building stuff around it. And just trying to make it sound thicker and fuller and just tell a story. Tell a story about opening up and, you know, getting a chance to say what I never had a chance to say. The end of this album, of this, excuse me, of this album, of this record is my, I think it's my Trent Reznor ministry moment. I mean, I loved and still love. I mean, I could turn ministry on. I could turn ministry on right now and just get crazy. Like I loved Ministry. I used to listen to this tape. I had a Ministry. I had a black Mitsubishi Eclipse, and man, I had that Ministry tape in there. I used to listen to that tape driving to work over and over and over. And I'm talking about just industrial kind of, you know, industrial rock, metal, whatever you want to call it. Loved Pantera. Was another one of those tapes. Was in my car all the time. Of course, every bleeping Slayer record, and I remember those Slayer albums because I kind of bought them in reverse. I never bought the very first one. I think the very first one was Hell Awaits. I never bought Hell Awaits, but I bought all those other records. And I brought them all out of order. You know, I also bought that the Decade of Aggression double live album. Bought that one. I've always liked that aggressive kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know people, some people will talk to you about, you know, what kind of rock they listen to, you know, and they'll always go with with the basic Nirvana, and you know, even some of them will, you know, they got enough music knowledge, they'll say something like Soundgarden or, you know, Rage Against the Machine or what's the other favorite one people love to throw around when they start talking about metal or loud rock music? I don't know, but anyway, nobody ever says to me Slayer. Nobody ever says to me, "Oh God, I love Slayer." But I there's no more exciting and aggressive music for me than Slayer. Just straight up, all the way. Just what I like. Now, I ain't all into those, all that devil themes and all that stuff he's talking about, but I will say that I always felt like he was speaking from a point of view that, you know, was like, yo, if you don't get with God, this is what your life gonna sound like. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, just hella aggressive, really dope. So the end of this song is me just trying to like enjoying, like wanting to get into the Reznor-y ministry kind of deal. So we have that Kanye scratch there at the end of the record, speaking to God. That FX scratch that, and then we've got the part at the end where I play guitar along this kind of breakbeat thing that I had made with Jeffrey's MPC. Now, most people wouldn't think that Jeffrey Kane from Remy Zero has an MPC, but he does, and he has a white custom white black pad MPC 2500. And so he had that 2500 in there, and I had my 5000, but he already had all these preset sounds in there. Some of these breaks, like these really hard, like. So I just hand played a rhythm. I didn't sequence it, just got some stuff together, put my choke on, you know. And for you people that don't really know what a choke is, it's on an MPC where when you hit one sound, let's say you've got three sounds on a pad. No, okay, screw it. Let's just say you got four, just like we've got right here on this part that I've been playing right now. So you got this sound, and you got this sound, and then you got this sound, and then you got this sound, okay? So what it means is, what choke means is that when you hit one, another one will start. Meaning, if one is playing and you hit the second one, the other one will cut that sound off. And so I set my choke up on that MPC 25 Custom 2500. Set the choke on for a couple of these sounds. I think it might have been like 8 or 10 sounds. Between 8 and 10 sounds. And I just hand played something. And I think it was. And then came back in and played the guitar over it. And I like building these little things on the end of tracks that don't sound like the main track. And it's just something I just like to do. Because I don't know what it reminds me of, but it just reminds me of maybe somebody's listening to the song and they ain't really even into the song, right? And when the song is over, they're kind of happy that the song is over. And then maybe this injection of this other song or other arrangement of notes or whatever it is completely different to the main song, and maybe that attack they then grow attached to the other part. It's almost like the symbiote in Venom. Have y'all seen that trailer? Holy bleep. Oh, that the ending. What are you? We are Vinny. Oh my man, dope, dope. So these little attachments on the end of these tracks are like the symbiote. They just connect. Hopefully they connect. They are already connected to the song, and then hopefully they then attach, both of them attach to you. I guess I think I've gone a little longer than I wanted to go for this one. But, because there weren't really a whole lot of, there just weren't really a whole lot of interesting pieces, other than the fact that Jeffrey went in and played with his back turned, and then Lori came in and recorded the cello, and she was totally professional. Like, she came in, knocked it out. Like, it didn't take her any time. It just goes to show that the classical instrument, the practitioner of the classical instrument, is just professional. Like, they just can't help themselves. They're just pros. I will say this. Let me kind of go back and maybe just drop some not science on people that for some stuff, because I did go back and listen also to the other podcast, and I realized I threw a lot of terms around. I talked about a lot of stuff that maybe just a basic person doesn't even know what the bleep I'm even talking about. But I said BPM, and I didn't explain BPM. BPM is beats per minute, for those that don't know what beats per minute is. So, and I was saying I'd like something around 93, 92 BPM. That's what I mean, beats per minute. I said 8 outs when I was talking about the Akai. The Akai is an MPC. It's a music production piece of hardware where sounds are played like an instrument, and they come out of 8 outputs, and those outputs go into a mixing board and then go into a recording the equipment. That's what that is, 8 outs. And the Kai, when I said a Kai, is the that's the beat machine. That's the company that makes the MPC music production equipment hardware. I said Pro Tools. Pro Tools is the recording software where all of those sounds that are played, whether they're live instruments or whatever, they're all arranged neatly. Well, and sometimes not so neatly in my case, arranged. And they're arranged separately. Each track is arranged separately if you choose to do so. And then I use the term quantize. And quantize, when I was saying that, Jay Dilla hasn't quantized in, or whatever, then I immediately stop quantizing he and Madlib. And what that means is that when you listen to a live drummer sometimes, he's not always on, every note is not on, like, lockstep in perfect rhythm. Sometimes he might be behind it. Sometimes he may be behind it. Sometimes he may be ahead. But with quantization, it puts it right. Everything is just right in lockstep. There's no movement at all. It's just everything is right on the 1, 2, 3, 4, the 5, 6, the 7, and 8, and everything. So that's what that means. So I'm just going to stop here, man, and we're going to come back later and we're going to talk about some other things. We're going to talk about the next track, which is Make Room. And I thank y'all for tuning in again and just listening to me rant and rave and talk about these tracks from Drapetomania, cuz it's really been really, really fun, really, really cool. Look at that. I just had those sounds just way too hot. Boy, that was super hot. But we'll be back right here, Artis, The Green Sea, Vulcanite Radio Podcast. We'll check you out later. Peace.